Administration for this opportunity to present these lessons on Genesis. This was a personal study that I was doing, for those who may not be here last week, preparing to present these lessons to the senior group over at Edge Hill. And I asked Jerry to come up here and present these lessons, and he said he would, and so I appreciate you bringing me over. Look forward to 11 more weeks now, right? Yeah, that's what Ronnie said. Somebody said, "You again?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I swear, maybe somebody like this." I said, "Yeah, after 11 more weeks, I guess the Lord willing, we'll make it over here." So, 11 more weeks we've got to end the study. And it's a pretty ambitious thing to do, to try to go through Genesis in 11 weeks. And so, we're going to take some unusual kinds of shortcuts, but trying to grasp the basic meaning of every chapter in Genesis. For that reason, we're going to read every chapter. We may have to condense certain chapters toward the end, but at least for the first few weeks, we're going to actually read the scriptures and think about them as we read them. Maybe have some comments from the class after the reading of those today's passages. I promised last week, I believe it was, that I would have an agenda so that I don't go rambling around. Being from Alabama, I like telling stories, and so I ramble. If I don't have an agenda, I'll try to stay on it.
Road time.
Yes, you from Alabama?
Yes, sir.
All right. My wife's from Auburn, so that's the we have place. Okay. So this is Survey of Genesis, and this is, is this on? Do I have that? Yeah. Today's agenda, and today, number one, we'll review just a little bit of last week's lesson, just some high points of what we talked about last week, about certain things such as the benefits of studying Genesis for today's Christian. Then we'll take a look at the pop quiz. We'll have a pop quiz. Y'all remember me last week said, study your heart today, the days of creation? No, you didn't say that. But we're going to look at the days, just for memory, just for fun. See if you can remember what happened on that day. Right? That's the second thing we'll do. The third thing we'll do is we'll take an azimuth check. That's the azimuth. Who knows what an azimuth check is? Anybody been in the military, you know what an azimuth check is, right? Make sure we're going in the right direction, because we set out a schedule, which we'll look at here in a moment. We want to make sure that we're on it and going in the right direction and doing the right thing, that sort of thing. Then we'll actually read chapter 1 and discuss it. Now, I have a list here. I asked last week for those that, who would be willing to read. So I've got my list, and I'm going to call your name out when we get to those places to read, all right? I may not know you, but I'll say your name, and you read it, please. And then we'll see if there's any volunteers, and if not, then we'll start all over in the list, because there's several readings, okay? That's keep us moving along and not having to listen to me read the whole thing or something like that. Okay. So we read the chapters and discuss, then we're going to read chapter 2 and discuss, and then we're going to read a portion of chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and that'll be the entire scope of the scriptures that we'll look at today. And we'll spend time reading those scriptures and discussing those scripture verses. You're going through lots of laundry just to put you to sleep. Okay, so a quick summary of last week. We talked about the importance of Scripture. We use such passages as Romans 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things written beforetime were written for our learning, that we might have hope, right? That's one of those passages that we looked at last week with several others. We have a request for a list of those. Well, anybody else wants to get a list of those scriptures? We have to get those for you. And we think about these things. Things God created perfectly. You remember to call some of the things we talked about. Do you remember? What did we say? God created perfectly. When he created the whole creation, he looked back and said, it is good. So there wasn't some imperfections out there at that time. Whenever he said, it is good, he created it perfectly. In my estimation, I think it should be good. But he created the sun for photosynthesis, for other things, the sun to keep us warm. He created the moon, control the tides, and so many intricacies that are in the creation, wondering how someone can think that it all happened by chance, still. The photosynthesis was another thing we talked about. the process of the sun shining down on green things and making food and making that thing grow from just the elements of the ground and the sunshine. We talked about those kind of things, the sun, moon, photosynthesis. And then we talked about time itself. God created time, didn't he? Where was God before time? We're not going to get into those theological discussions in here. That's the Russell's getting to it, and we all let him explain all of those. But where was God before he invented time? You know, that kind of question comes up. But he invented, he's in control of it, whatever the aspects of the characteristics of time is, he is in control of it. No surprises for him. I think we used to. One example is in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time came, God set forth his son, born unto one. So he's controlling time. The time will come when the people are in suffering their whole earth, right away off here. So he's in control of time, too. And the next thing, the next thing we talked about was why Christians should be familiar with Genesis. Very generally, we covered several things, but very generally, we study Scripture for what reasons? Give me some reasons why we study Scripture. Any Scripture. Why do we study any Scripture?
Learn more about God.
Learn more about God. Okay, that's good. Good one. Do what? Yeah. Know what he wants us to do, right? Yeah. To edify. I think that's what I was going to say. And edify our own self. That's right. So equip. God knows the Scriptures. To equip us to know how to perform those good works. That's right. Okay. And for example, we have a program over at Edgefield. I'm going to do this a lot. Over at Glen Allen, where we let people come in and we study the English language with them by reading the Bible. So I've noted that some of the people that I have talked with, particularly the Muslims, I've had four or five Muslims that I've sat down and talked with, they want to talk about Genesis. They have their own story, of course, in the Quran of how things happened, and so they want to compare it. They want to know about Genesis. So it's up to us, not only for them, but anybody, though, that wants to ask about hope that's within us. If you go back to Genesis, why truth seekers should understand that the story of Genesis, at least in general, when I became a Christian, I was 18 years old. I had heard, I guess, a lot of sermons when I was visiting church, or those types of things. So I had a general knowledge. But that may not be the case nowadays. The world, Christians are by far the minority, even those that just call themselves Christians, and the many denominations and whatnot. We are all, if you just use that term to lump us all together, we're a very small amount of the whole total population. And so the people that are coming to our doorsteps now don't know. They don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about God. So we take these opportunities to tell them. We need to have a good knowledge specifically about Genesis and the whole story from creation through the redemption process. And so Jesus went to the cross. First trick was established in those things. It's ground material for Christians, and this is good ground material that the truth seekers should find. I'll be getting ahead of myself. There's two stories in the book of Acts that covers the same thing that's in Genesis, right? Two sermons, in fact. Which one's the first one? Which sermon in the book of Acts covers just about everything in Genesis? Peter's sermon. In Acts 2, the very first gospel sermon, he would go tell those Jews he's talking to the whole story of what happened in Genesis. And then finally, he tells them the whole story about Christ, and they say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The confession part. Then the next time, Stephen told the same story. It's almost the same story. Yeah. How did they react this time? Did they say, "What shall we do?" Threw rocks at him, killed him, did they? Stoned him. So the gospel message is something that will stir the hearts of mankind. And they'll react once they understand that story. They will react one way or the other. They'll be determined to serve God or determined to not serve you. The God who kicked you out. Or maybe not stone you, but anyway, that's the response. The truth seekers need to know the story of Genesis. We talked a little bit about our planning, search for hidden information as we read. In preparation for that study for the senior, senior group, I kept running into things. I said, how many times have I studied Genesis since the news published in 1968 when I became a Christian? How many times have I studied Genesis over and over and over? And I read along and I go, oh, I didn't see that before. I didn't know that. I remember that. So those, I kept running across those things. So we want to keep an eye out for those kind of things. Say, do you realize that this says this, or this hit me? If it does, maybe everybody else knows it. Me, I don't know. But anyway, we'll look for those. That's one of the things we'll do. Here's the beginning of the pop quiz. Can you see that? Probably can't. Well, let me try to read it for you a little bit. First day, the beginning, the creation of the earth. The first day, light appears, light, the darkness is divided. Second day, water above, divided from the waters below. The third day, the earth and sea is divided. There's grass, there's trees, there's are brought forth on the third day. That's the completion of the earth day kind of thing, okay? The fourth day, the sun and the moon are given for light. And the control of tides and one of them, that's the Lord has assigned to them. And then the fifth day, the sea creatures, everything in the sea, and the air creatures, Yeshua, the fowl of the air, they were created on that day. Now, sixth day. What happened on the sixth day? What's the main thing that happened on the sixth day? Man was created. Man was already created. He created also the beast of the field. Okay, let's see if we can remember. Okay, there are 6 days represented by those six rhythms there. Okay, first day was. Oh, there's the big places to choose from down the bottom. Yeah, anything will do as long as it's similar to that. But then one of them down there is up there. Which one of those would you choose if you're going to say the first day? Heavens. Yeah, the lights at the heavens. Okay, the first day. And the second day? I am pointing the wrong way. The waters, yeah, okay. Above and the ocean itself, or the waters below. The third day, I didn't give you a chance to answer this. trees, the earth, the completion of the earth that we was talking about just a moment ago. My fourth day before I make the bed. Fourth day, anybody? Say again? The fourth day is lights. And that's why the sun doesn't go lights. And then the fifth day. That's right. Okay, got it down. And then finally the sixth day, Riley said this one. Beast and man. Then what happened on the seventh day? Rest. All right, that's pop quiz for just a reminder to him. Okay, this is it. You certainly can't see this. I think we had a handout last week. So. But where we are right here is this chapter 1, we should have read last week, but we didn't. We're going to catch up today about the creation of the universe. There's been 2, Adam and Eve's duties and blessings. Chapter 2, that's the main thing we're looking at there. And then a portion, only a portion of chapter 3, and that's the fall. We're going to read that part up to the fall. But we're not going to cover the casting out of Eden. That will be next week. Hey, let's begin reading. How are we going to do this? I mentioned earlier, you can't see that, you have to read it out of your own pack, out of your own Bible. Okay? But I'll say, I'll follow you along up here and say, this place where it says next reader. Okay? And so as you read, I'll say next reader. And I'll pull you off this list here. Okay, this is the list I got last week of those who want to read. After we get to the end, I'll ask for volunteers. They don't get volunteers at the beginning of the list. Okay. All right, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. If you're not already there, or if you can see the board, that's fine too. This is the English Standard Version that I have here. I use the King James, or the New King James, and the English Standard Version for most of my studies, and this is the ESV here. Okay, first person on the list is Jerry. How about that? And read down through, you'll read through verse 5, okay?
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. And it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening of the morning was the first day.
Okay, Jamie's not here, is she? Okay, Judy? She worked, you crossed it out here? Okay, Amy Christensen.
And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next reader, verse 9. And that's Charles. Chuck. Keep on reading. Up through verse 13.
God said, let there be light from the vault of the sky, separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days of food. And let them be light from the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, and it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. For God set them in the vault of the sky, give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light and darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day.
Thank you very much. And now, Tom Burdett.
Verse
22, 23. Reverend Brett,
I'm sorry, can I interrupt you, sir?
22, 25. Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
And the birds flight above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. For God created great sea creatures and river moving from that rivers, which is the water of the valley, according to their time, river moving for it, according to its time. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed the firmament, fruitful and multiplied, and filled the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply from the earth, so that the evening and the morning were filled with pleasure. Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its time. Cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to its time. That is so. God made the beasts of the earth according to its time, cattle according to its time, everything that creeps on the earth according to its time. God saw it for its time.
Okay. And?
Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule the earth. Fish to sea, and the birds of the air, and the livestock, and all the earth, and all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Man and female, he created him.
Okay. Verse 28, next reader would be Norma Pratt.
God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and do it. Rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit and seed, they will be yours for fruit. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has a breath of life in it, that they every green plant food, and it blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because one in you rested from all the work of creating.
Amen. All right, let's go all the way to verse 9. Through verse 9.
This is the account of the heavens and the earth. The made created when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. The springs came up from the earth, and the water below the surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man from the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east of Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Let's pause just 1 second. What's our time like? Go ahead and read the next reader. Let's go with Shirley Shaw.
She's not here today.
Christine Williams. Okay, volunteers. Who's the next one? All right.
Verse 10?
Yes, verse 10.
And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from this it was parted, became into four heads. The name of the first is Hyson.
Fission.
That is which compresses the whole land of Apple, where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good. There is Bedouin and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river, Gihon, the same is that compresses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third is Hethethem, that is which goes towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden, and dressed it to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is good that it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of Adam's ribs, filled up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from him, made him a woman, and brought her unto him. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Thank you so much. That'll be chapter 3. We're only going down to verse 13, okay?
You must not touch it. God, you will not surely die to circumcision. in the cool of the day. And that you did come to go back and retrieve the garden. Where are you? And I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I did. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me something from the tree and I ate it. And he said, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate it.
All right, very good. No problem. Very good reading. Oh, everybody, everybody, good reading. You must read the children. I'm telling you, you must read the children. I can tell. Very active. Everybody was good. I appreciate your help with that. So that's quite a reading. We'll have to somewhere down the line. We'll have to start depending on everybody to read it at home before we even go. But very good. Got us with you. We're up to date on what we're supposed to read at this point. Let's see. I want to talk now. The main gist of what we saw today was, we could talk about some things in Genesis chapter 1, such as, you know, the theories of the gap. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth is not formed and void, and then 10 billion years happened, and then the first day, you know, those kinds of things. We can talk about that and get wrapped around the actual about it, but we're not going to go there. We're going to take the six little 24-hour days, and God rested on the seventh 24-hour day. Some of those kinds of discussions do come out of chapter 1, and I know that chapter 1 is not exactly in some places, and you do too, in chronological order as an example of that is. Later on, we'll see where it says, and then the Lord God created man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He's already done that chronologically, and we'll read that. So, you know, it's not exactly chronological in some places, but for the most part, that 6 days and that seventh day are chronological.
Okay,
we'll accept that in chapter 1. But I wanted us to look at these three topics here: Satan, sin, and fallen person. Because the same thing that happened to Eve happens today.
Yeah.
Same thing. We see something that appeals to us. We may know that's wrong, and we go ahead and do it anyway. It's what she did. And human nature does not change from the time of the fall when she fell. The discussion that says that Adam, that Eve was deceived by the devil, that Adam wasn't. We don't know exactly whether he was deceived or whether he was taking pity on his wife, wanted to stay with her. We don't know those. Those are all kind of speculation kind of things. But this all happened here, and sin brought chaos to the world. That perfect world that God had created is no longer perfect, is because sin is in it too. And not only the man's fault, but the animals died. Everything that we see today that we don't like began to happen because of the fall. All right? So sin has great consequences. And then when God says, what is this that you've done? Talking to the woman. There was a lot to that. What is this? We want to put ourselves in good places. Say, you know, if I'd been there, I wouldn't have done that. I don't know. Maybe I'm my fault would be the nature now. I don't know. Okay. Something about Satan first. Satan, he hates God. That's no use. He hates you. He hates me. He hates everything that God has put together.
Yeah.
He has rebelled completely against God. And they cannot coexist. You can't have a little Satan in the world and a little God's world and expect to be in God's world. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, very good point. That's a good reason why he had to leave. And God wouldn't allow him to stay up there because he wanted to be God himself. He wanted God.
And he hated God. He wanted to take his position.
Yeah.
Whenever and wherever it happens, that's what he did.
And another thing, you know, when they eat the fruit, so often you see people with apples in hand. I don't need that. I want to get about the apple. It's a fruit. It isn't several candy. I don't believe it was something that he was offering to have. every half day. Not that it's a big deal.
When you get into those things, I think Deuteronomy 29, 29.
Yeah.
There's secret things that you have to reveal. There's things he's revealed to us we need to know. Yeah. Something, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me ask a question. Do we know, any indication of what day Satan actually showed up on the earth?
No,
what day started?
I don't know if there's any indication.
No,
He's spiritual, so he can, this is conjecture on my part, he can be anywhere he wants to be all the time. Almost omnipresent like God, I believe.
Charlie, I think that the problem comes in is that we tend to read the narrative of the story of creation. You know, we had 6 days of creation. On the seventh day, God rested. And then on the eighth day, Satan tempted Adam and Eve. It most likely didn't happen that way. There was most likely some kind of time where they enjoyed, you know, the garden. And the reason I say that, if you go to the narrative that we just read about the fall, and I've talked about this and have a phrase for it, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, there must have been some time there that they were accustomed to walking in the garden in the cool of the day with God, because when on that occasion he came, it was a sound that they knew what it was. You know, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They'd heard it before. So there must have been some time there. How much time, nobody knows. But it's been some kind of time that took place between when they were created and when Satan came and tempted them and they fell.
Satan was observing the good things. He was so completely jealous that he didn't make it.
Think about how long it took for
the
created enemy to come to the
That's right. Yeah, you probably couldn't think of a name for all the animals that are on the earth.
That wasn't an English word.
All right, let's go to the next one. But God, he hates us and he hates God. Oh, I jumped one there. My PowerPoint maker, that's me. He messed up. But, oh my goodness, we got to go all the way to the bottom to get to that one right there. Okay, come on back up here. Like a wild, he is like a wild roaring lion. Satan, he will be us. He's evil, and he's looking for it. We can't compare him to the little green man, the red man, the pork tail. He tempts us with things that we can appeal to us. Things that we want, position, those kinds of things. Okay? In order to fight against the wiles of the devil, we have to have on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 tells us that. Tim does not wear the whole armor of God. Do you? I tend to. First of all, I gotta get the sword in my hand. I gotta get that.
Yeah.
Then I gotta do the other parts. But the sword is the first thing. The sword will cause you to want to put the rest of the armor on. Okay? And then we can fight against the wiles of the
devil. Yeah.
We can fight against principalities, powers, and high places. If not just somebody that's big and strong. So we gotta be ready. There are sins that so easily beset us. Now, the Hebrews 12, verse 1, may be talking about a specific sin. I'm not certain. But there are sins that tend to send me off course. Easily beset. Without exposing too much of my history with sin to you, and embarrassing you, and certainly embarrassing me, I'm going to give you a couple of three examples, okay? Smoking. Really back a long time ago in the church, there was great discussions back and forth whether smoking was sin or not. Whether it was sin or not, I want to use that as an example because I smoked. And I probably argued that it's not a sin. Because I was already a Christian when these discussions were going on. But let's assume this for discussion purposes, it is. I think it has some of the attributes of other things that are sins, no doubt. It appealed to me for some strength, and now I'm not going to be sick. But when I was young, it appealed to me. That's what I wanted to do. So I did it. It became a habit. It stayed with me. By the time I was in my 20s, I wanted to get rid of that nasty thing. 25, 30, somewhere along there. And I couldn't. I was having some flesh. That's the way some, some sins get you. Well, lots of sins. The ones that we have a hard time to hit the sins, the ones that, we take into our bosom and hold and say, not this one, Lord, don't take this one. Kind of tough for me. It's been pretty hard. No, I won't keep this here, but I really don't
now, though, for sure.
But alcoholism, drugs, sexual deviations, all those sorts of things may appeal to us in first. But then we participate in the gifts. They grab us. They won't turn us loose. And this is when we really got to have the whole armor of God. We got to depend on the grace of God to forgive us for those sins and put them away. Put them away. But that's the way sin works. It gets you and holds you. Okay. Oh yeah. Kind of, at least along the same lines, Paul says this in Romans 17, verses 19 and 20. What we would not do, what we would not do, that we would not do. I would not do. Well, now I think, well, I'll never smoke a cigarette. I've got that one with. Okay. But other things come along. But, say how I gossip. Let's say I'm a gossip, you know, and I gossip, and then I realize what I'm doing, and I pray, and ask God to forgive me, and I manage to put it off. You know, 6 months, I don't talk about anybody in a damaging way. And then I get to talking about, well, this is for his own good, her own good, and I start telling everybody about this. That's gossip. That's gossip. Watch out. It's going to crack. I'm going to get in that habit. And I'm going to say things like this. Bless his heart, he is something. Now I'm going to talk about him in ways that I shouldn't. So sin is deceptive, and it will get us
very much so.
This sin, whatever it is not new. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But it goes on to say, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Out the window goes the easy way to stop something, right? Endure it. The way that he provides us to endure it, I think, is of course in prayer, absolutely in prayer. But through the reading of the scripture, through identification, we will achieve that. But it's not going to be easy. Whatever these things are. It's still got clutches in us. God can save us. We've got that faith. We ourselves will not be able to tell the gospel to anyone else, right? We'll be having to apply all the basic principles to ourselves again. We're focusing on ourselves, and we should be focused on the Lord. For next week, read chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 5, verse 32. Any final thoughts, comments? I think we're getting pretty close to putting that on.
One of our challenges as Christians, once we understand or come to a realization of God's grace and how he delivers us through these circumstances, through situations, large areas, overcoming sin, that's what I think, and also addition to that, is to help us grasp that, embrace that. That and knowing that if you apply to go grave, the next thing he will surely, by the way, set the terms of therefore, you stand in the call, stand in the call, and one that who brought you through that is the same God to be there for your tomorrow already.
And you know, we've got to give God the credit for when we finally do finish with these away, right? I pray, I don't have hundreds and hundreds of times, Lord, take these cigarettes. I don't want them. I don't want to take them. I wouldn't do it. It seemed like that. And, but, you know, I did pray a while and kept trying and kept praying and kept. And there was a time, though. And I said, Lord, just take them this way.
They pray
God. Yeah, and I didn't want to question it. I didn't want to go back and say, well, maybe it was because I strained so far. You know, I don't. But God answered my prayer, whether he did it through me or the circumstances or what. I got to the point, not only did I not want to smoke, I get a headache right now. If I smell a cigarette outside, I get a headache. I want to go to sick. So that's really great, isn't it? I listen to that for all the things that you said. But anyway, I think good comments, good participation.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
See you next week.